North Shore Today.
The area's only daily news podcast.
On MSONewsSports.com.
Hi, I'm Rick Moore, along with Bill Newell. This is North Shore Today for Monday, April 20, 2020. It is Patriots Day.
Massachusetts Governor Charlie Baker believes that this week could be the surge or the peak week of COVID-19 cases in the state. Over the weekend, he expressed that increased testing is helping with their work in dealing with concerns at extended living facilities.
One of the things we've been doing over the course of the past 10 days or so is creating a series of initiatives to support both the residents and the people who work in long-term care facilities. One of those is the mobile testing program, and we're one of the only states in the country that has one, which is being led by the folks from the Guard. And they've done, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I think they've hit close to 250 facilities at this point.
Over 300.
I was being conservative. Okay. And somewhere in the vicinity of 5,000 or 6,000 tests. And in addition to the work that the mobile units are doing, which literally can go to the facilities and do the testing based on what guidance the facilities give or that we get from the folks at the Department of Public Health about who to test and all the rest, can then work with the homes to basically separate COVID-positive residents and staff in some cases from folks who don't test positive. And one of the things about long-term care facilities and assisted living facilities is they're basically set up for people to engage with each other. That's the, you know, the whole point is not to isolate people.
Massachusetts Governor Charlie Baker. Baker also expressed the really uniqueness of battling this virus and the fact that it's not like a major snowstorm and it's not like the Boston Marathon bombing from several years ago. It is invisible.
What we're dealing with here, as the general said, is an invisible, insidious enemy. And if you go outside and you walk around, it looks pretty much the same as it always did, except there's nobody on the streets and there are very few automobiles and everything, for the most part, is closed. And I think that speaks to some extent to the very different sort of psychology that's associated with battling a virus relative to the psychology of battling an enemy or an event or a disaster that occurs, natural, man-made, or otherwise, that's right in front of you. It also has a beginning and usually an end. One of the things about this is, because of the unprecedented nature of it, we don't really know exactly when it's going to end. We have a bunch of data that we've collected from the experiences of other countries, and we started to collect data from our own experience and the experience of other states here in the U.S. But this is a very different kind of battle, because so much of it is being fought against an invisible, insidious enemy that, in many respects, we're still learning about.
Governor Charlie Baker.
The owner of the Rum Lion restaurant in Gloucester, Fred Shrigley, spoke with MSO News on Friday and told of his concern and challenges in closing down one of the city's most popular entertainment establishments.
Okay, well, first of all, St. Patrick's Day, March 17th, is, if not our biggest day of the year, the second biggest day. So leading up to that, we stocked tons of liquor, 160 pounds of gray corned beef, because we have a huge St. Patrick's Day party. We're all ready to go. We cooked 20 pounds of potatoes, everything. We're all set to go. And then Governor Baker closed on the 16th, and we couldn't be open on the 17th. So we were open on the 16th, so I got on Facebook. Talked to people, and I said to all my regulars, I said, look, if you want your corned beef and cabbage, come get it tonight, Monday the 16th. And lo and behold, tons of people showed up. We had kind of an Irish wake, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And then the next day, we sold almost the rest of it out on, you know, to go. So, and then I had my staff come in, we emptied all the bottle coolers, We emptied all the sandwich units, upstairs, downstairs, shut the walk-ins off, and put everything we could in the freezer. I gave the staff everything else that was going to perish that we couldn't use by giving it away. And so then I shut the heat off, and not knowing, you know, when it would come back on, I didn't want to accumulate more bills, electric bills, etc. So that was the first step. Then you realize, Jesus, you know, is this going to end? When it's going to end? And you get really depressed.
That's Fred Shrigley, owner of the Rumline Restaurant in Gloucester.
Lynn Public Schools are gearing up for the next phase of their distance learning program. Brian Lapierre, City Councilor-at-Large, hosted a COVID-19 update on LynnTV.org. His guest, Superintendent Patrick Tutwiler of the Lynn Public Schools, and he explained their next phase of distance learning.
A system called Class Dojo on the elementary level and Jupiter on the secondary level, middle school and high school. And Class Dojo has been rolled out, I think, really effectively, and we're in the process of rolling out Jupiter, which already existed at Classical. So in that first phase, we really sought to establish resources and services to support families through this challenge. We also developed content on the Lynn Public Schools website, academic content that would suffice for approximately a month. Now that the governor has extended the closure to May 4th, and I have a strong, strong belief that it will be beyond May 4th, we've shifted to a more thoughtful approach for academic engagement. What we're calling Phase 2, again, Lynn Public Schools Phase 2, not the president's Phase 2, is really focused on interdisciplinary projects and activities anchored around common themes district-wide.
Lynn Superintendent of Schools, Dr. Patrick Tutwiler.
Michael Cronin writes in today's Gloucester Times, Essex town officials have implemented new measures for this year's town election on Monday, June 22, to keep the spread of coronavirus to a minimum. In-person voting will only be open between noon and 6 p.m. at Essex Memorial Fire Station, 24 Martin Street. Absentee and early ballots are currently available as well. To request one, submit an application or written request with signature to the new Town Hall Dropbox located under the portico at 30 Martin Street. Applications are also available online. Due to recent legislation passed by the state, absentee ballots may be used for anyone taking precautions related to the COVID-19 emergency. Early ballots now are available for any reason. The difference between the two is those who submit an absentee ballot may also vote in person if their ballot hasn't been processed. More on this story in today's Gloucester Times.
Residents of a senior housing complex in Beverly say that they were blindsided by a judge's decision Tuesday to release a Middleton jail detainee who tested positive for COVID-19 to live with his mother in her apartment there. Julie Manganis of the Salem News writes that we're all scared to death, said Gloria Carter, 75 years old, a resident of the Fairweather Apartments on Elliott Street, where Eric Jalbert, 31, was ordered to stay with his mother, who lives in the building, by a Salem Superior Court judge. Managers at the complex began receiving calls about the situation on Wednesday, said J.P. Hervis, a spokesman for the POA Communities, the management company for Fairweather Apartments. Quote, we're disappointed that the courts would release him to someone living in a community full of seniors at a time like this, he said. You would hope that that wouldn't happen, he said. The company is now taking steps to remove Jalbert. Much more on this story in Saturday's edition of the Salem News.
Associated Press is reporting that Massachusetts lawmakers have sent to Governor Charlie Baker a bill they say would provide a safety net for renters, homeowners, and small businesses grappling with the economic fallout of the coronavirus state or emergency. Make that coronavirus state of emergency. The legislation approved Friday prohibits all non-essential evictions and foreclosures and provides mortgage borrowers with forbearance options and protects tenants from late fees. The bill would create a moratorium on all stages of the eviction and foreclosure process for 120 days from the enactment of the legislation, or 45 days after the state of emergency has been lifted, whichever comes first. It would also prohibit all non-essential evictions for residential properties and small businesses and bar residential landlords from terminating tenancy and sending a notice to quit. Landlords would be banned from issuing late fees and reports to credit agencies for non-payment of rent, provided that a tenant offers notice and documentation to the landlord within 30 days of the missed rent that the non-payment was related to a financial impact from COVID-19.
Thanks so much for joining us today on North Shore Today. Along with Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell. Just a quick reminder, we do like to hear from you with any comments, suggestions, or tips. You can email us at msonewsports@gmail.com, msonewsports@gmail.com. North Shore Sports Night, Monday nights at 7, Connections Tuesday and Thursday mornings, live at 10.